This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 20th of November, 2025, and you are on the clock with Ride the Wave with Brave Green. I mean, that sounds strange, hey? It sounds strange to me at first. But let me tell you what happened. I was in the Salvation Army this week, and I was walking around thrifting because you can find so many wonderful things in the Salvation Army thrift store. And this shirt jumped out at me, like literally fell off the rack. I mean, mind you, somebody walked past the rack and hit it, right? But this shirt, a Ride the Wave with Brave shirt, fell off the rack at my feet. And then I heard a sound say, wear me, wear me, wear me, and you will see success, right? So I said, let me try it out. Let me try it out. Plus, I don't like the idea that people think that I am anti-PLP because of the critical nature of the critique, the political critique and the critique of governance that I offer on my show. So I wear in the shirt to see if I can see success. But I tell you what, if I see my Auntie Ona Bailey today, then it will have been a success because I gained the shirt to her after I wear it, because who is a truer PLP than my Aunt Ona Bailey? A stalwart, right? A true member. Anyway, good morning, Ona Bailey, and good morning to all the PLP members and supporters out there. Please continue to listen to not just my show, but all the shows on the Guardian platform, right? Continue to listen, continue to contribute, continue to share your critique, your commentary, your questions. I just want to say one thing. I don't run political ads on my show for free. Nobody does. The station has a rule. You have to pay for political ads. But if you are prepared, if you are, as a party member, want to call the show and you want to say something on behalf of your party or offer a critique of what it is your party is doing, I am willing to engage you in conversation about what you're talking about. But I don't want anybody to think for any minute that I have like a bias against any particular or individual political party. I treat them all the same. They all gonna get this critique. And they all should love it because it is critique that will cause these political parties to grow. It is critique that will cause the political parties to strengthen themselves and thus strengthen the governance that they offer us. I want to ask members of political parties to not be discomforted by critique. Hear the critique, right? Sometimes the critique has come nasty, off base from people. You don't have to engage everything. Anything that is nasty, you let that go, right? But often there are answers in the critique to questions that parties and party members have been asking themselves, right? So let's not be afraid of critical interrogation of governance, of policy, and of political matters. Now, Carla, I see you on the line. Give me 3 seconds, and I come in right to you. I just want to put on the table what we're talking about today, right? So here's some of the topics I have for today. A Tale of Two Ambassadors. A Tale of Two Ambassadors. Arawaki, the Eastminster System, Golden Isles, advance poll to by-election, and traffic bingo. Traffic bingo, because when that parlay hit, I gonna be so rich unless you hit my car, and then I can't go far. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good topics, Aaron.
Thank you.
Good topics. Now, on your voice critique.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is a general thing I've seen. I can be in a room, in a gathering, made up of FNMs and PLPs. Well, I guess guys, you know, like that. And I can be talking. And as long as I don't name a name or point a finger, both sides think I'm talking about them. You know, both sides think I'm talking about them. And, you know, if you're in the see, and they be pushing you, trying to get you to take, to take a side, you see? But as long as you stay, like, down the middle, every PLP and FNMs think you're talking about them.
Yeah.
Okay, baby.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I think this conversation ties into the electoral conversation we're having right now, right? When the gentleman said, like, they want you to pick a side, right? Because your allegiance to the, in the prevailing political culture, your allegiance to the party must be a matter of trust and faith. See, there are always parallels, right? There's a Christian tenet that says, you cannot know if God is real. You must believe. You must have faith. You must not seek out an answer, but you must be comforted in your faith and your belief that he exists, right? And like we've paralleled that, I come to you right now, caller, we paralleled that to political culture, right? You don't need talking points. You don't need to know what our policy position is yet. Or at least you don't need to know that to decide whether you're going to be a member of this party. Either you as a believer or you're not. Either you belong or you don't. And all the rest is like what they call minutia. It's insignificant. Anyway, let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I love what you said about critiquing or
critiquing. Yeah, yeah, critiquing.
Yeah, that's important because it develops the person, makes them better, you know. So they'll see where their weak spots are or strong spots are. Today, Mr. Pistock was on this morning, and the questions were posed to him, and it's almost as if he didn't really want to answer them. It's very important with the Information Act. 80 or 97 behemoths would want that to be enacted, right? And that's something he should consider. His voters are listening to him in Golden Isles.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was wondering, you know, I don't understand it. Does he really understand what this thing is about? You know, people want things change, you know?
Yeah.
And so you cannot avoid certain questions. I think they asked him some other few questions, and he sort of, oh, the other one was, try to remember. There was two questions they asked him. But he was, at one point, he had a senator being appointed. Senators should be appointed independently because they are loyal to their party. So, and his thing, he don't support that. He don't believe in that. So I'm saying, if you are bringing something new, Mr. Pickstock, you're brand new, like he young or whatever, but you are still in line with your party. and the velocity, because people want the Senate to be changed, independent, where we get a proper legislation, where we can add or minus or, like you say, adjust to make it better for the Bahamian people.
Yes,
I see people thinking about their parties. Your thing is for the Bahamian people.
Yes,
you know?
As a representative, yes.
He's deceased now, but he worked on behalf of the Bahamian people in tourism. And you should know my brother, David Johnson, former director,
yes,
former general manager of Bahamas there. His job was for the country, and he died that way.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
So why can't a politician say, listen, yeah, I have a party, I'm associated with the BWAF and them, but I'm here to serve the Bahamian people.
I can tell you why.
Mr. Pissocker failed.
Thank you very much for your contribution. I can tell you why. I got two more callers on the line. Producer, thank you, sir. Prep the next call. I can tell you why. 73-1A of the Constitution says that the Governor General must appoint, as Prime Minister, the leader of the party that commands the support of the majority of the support of MPs in the House, right? That's why. Right there. That provision in the Constitution right there. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, you. And what I am about to say does not apply to you because your show is different. You are different. I find you to be a very fair individual. But I have called the Guardian on their various talk shows a couple of times when they had the various MPs
mm-hmm.
from different parties on board. When I would ask them questions about the performance of their parties,
mm-hmm.
they cut me off. Like, and they go on like I never was talking.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, man? I thought this was a fair thing, like you are fair on your show. But why do these other radio talk shows, these hosts, do such a thing? This is supposed to be a fair democratic thing.
I hear you, sir. I have the answer for you, too, and I'm going to give it to you right now. Thank you for calling and continue calling. Even the shows who you feel may not entertain your question, that you have asked the question out loud is equally important. I can tell you the answer right now because they don't know, right? The guests, they don't know the answer to that question. And what happens is in those few seconds, a host is trying to move the show forward without completely and totally embarrassing the guests, right? That's what it is. My Corinne Mitchell showed me one time after she heard me on a radio show as an LGBTI advocate, she showed me, listen, when you smart, you must help people save face. Even if that person is your enemy, right? It's not your job to help them dig the grave that they are digging. Your job is to throw the dirt back in the grave while they ain't watching, right? And so sometimes hosts don't know how to push the guest to answer the question without appearing to embarrass the guest. Good morning, caller.
According to you, so you know why I still are with you, Aaron.
Blessings, Bremen. How you doing?
Much the same to you. Thank you. You do a beautiful job.
Thank you. Thank you,
Bremen. Only you on Chester, you all make Guardian Radio to be that which you're carrying on.
Bremen, if the other people ask me, I can lie. I can tell them you ain't say that, but I appreciate what you. I appreciate
well,
what you say.
It's a fact. It's fact. Sad truth.
I hear you, sir. Thank
yeah.
you.
But what I'm calling for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Monroe got to stop coming on these radio talking foolishness. Every time I call the Central Police Station, especially on weekend,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna tell me it ain't any car. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, all of them tell me. It ain't any car. All of them would be on. And it's impossible for it to be no car or no truck.
Yeah.
That station right in the city. Okay? Wayne Monroe got to stop this foolishness, what he be doing. And he's thinking he's all of that. Wayne Monroe, stop your foolishness, Bremen darlings.
I hear you, sir. I hear you, sir. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Listen to me. You say you wearing your T-shirt. What is on your T-shirt?
This one say, ride the wave with Brave.
You know if your your uncle Dario Mitchell see you that on now, he would smile from ear to ear.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be the happiest man on earth today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that you see that drop and you put that on today.
Yeah.
That is a sign. Trust me.
Listen,
of
you,
what is going to happen on Monday? Trust me on that.
You know why?
You want to play the state back.
What? I didn't know I was a part of all of that.
That's a God sent message for you to bring out this morning.
I hear you. You know what I've learned recently? I want to say good morning to the entire St. Barnabas family, the entire Anglican Church family, you know, because Leish Boyd is my cousin who I have to call uncle. But St. Barnabas in particular and the Hannah Hasty Tynes Association, right, reinforced for me the message about community. See, once we touch hands, we are community. And the way that we engage each other must change is science. That's like Einstein or one of them quantum physics science principles. Once you touch hands with somebody, your relationship with them changes, right? And so it's important for us to remember that. And I even measure my critique with that, that I, as a host, I have the space to critique whatever I want, but as a member of a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ms. Grant.
Yes, sir.
Your lifestyle doesn't bother me, you know. That's your lifestyle.
Listen, if you ask my neighbors, if you ask my neighbors what my lifestyle is, they, you know, they could tell you. I don't know, but that woman is being in the yard talking to raccoons. That's all they could tell you.
But with me, when I used to drink and stuff, there were a lot of people didn't like that. Mm-hmm. But that was my lifestyle at that time. So whichever way can make you happy, that's between you, whoever, and your God. You got to answer to God. You ain't got to answer to nobody. Nobody get the key for heaven. Neither hell to push you in.
Yes, sir.
You know, but to keep up a good work. Like, I agree with Raymond Darling, too. You're doing good. You need to teach some of the more senior people around that station to have some more courtesy and some more respect for the calling.
I hear you.
Thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know what happened to me? I'm the vice chair of the Hannah Hasty Tynes Association, and the empathy and energy it takes to wrangle Hannah Hasty Tynes people and the community that always shows up to support me in that work. Thank you, sir. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing simply fantastic. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something. If a government appointed you as in any role to serve for the country. In this particular case, I'm going to actually touch on the role of ambassador.
Yes, sir.
And you offer commentary that may not be in line with what the government or the political party serving as government wants to put in the public domain. Why do you believe that the person should be cautious or threatened that their ambassadorship could potentially be taken away if they do not toe the line?
Okay.
Does that mean that your right, your personal right is taken away? You cannot speak to the issues as it is on the outside there, even if it goes against the principles that you trying to project out into the public domain?
Okay, so let me answer this, right? In the Westminster system, the Westminster system, right? There is culture and convention, and the culture is that you represent the government. Bang. As an ambassador, you represent the government. When you speak on behalf of the government, and that's your public personality, and then everything else falls away. See, that's the problem with appointing superstars as ambassadors, because they're not ordinary people, and they weren't ordinary people before you appointed them. You see, in the Westminster system, there are rules and conventions about this. And so to the second point, there's a difference between caution and threaten. Yes. An ambassador can expect at any time a member of the diplomatic service, to caution them to ensure that they are always aware of the scope of their authority as an ambassador, right? Bang. To threaten is an entirely different thing. But as we go to the break, I want us to think about this. Are we practicing the Westminster system? Is it reasonable or fair to ask an ambassador to adhere to a particular culture that nobody else in governance is adhering to? When we get back from the break, callers, please hold the line. I appreciate your patience. If not, call back after the break. A tale of two ambassadors, Sebastian and the office of the Prime Minister. Ambassador appointment. Y'all knew that Buddy Hield was an ambassador. I mean, we knew that he was an ambassador, but did you know he was an ambassador? Anyway, we're going to the break. We're coming right back. Stay tuned. On the clock with Ride the Wave with Brave Green.
My life felt kinda high. My girlfriend wants some flowers. She don't get it, she say bye. My car running on E and by my belly full of gas. I so broke I pull my wallet out. It might be in a gas. I got a plan though. I got a plan though. And trust this ain't a gamble. And trust this ain't a gamble. I see 10 teams who can win. Man, I know this one get hit. I put everything all in. Bye bye tomorrow I'll be rich. When the parlay hit, I can be so rich.
Man, I can't wait to eat. I am starving.
You know our sport never disappoints.
Boy, I left my wallet in the room. No way I'm going back.
Relax, buddy. You've got your phone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect. Just pay with Sand Dollars from your digital wallet.
Good thing Sand Dollar transactions are seamless, safe, and convenient.
Yep, Sand Dollar saved the day.
Experience the convenience of Sand Dollar, the digital currency of the Bahamas. Whether you're dining out or anywhere else, Sand Dollar ensures seamless transactions. Join the future of payments with Sand Dollar.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Join the Bahamas Heart Association for its inaugural golf tournament, proudly presented by Visa and Fidelity Bank, on Sunday, November 30th at the spectacular Royal Blue Golf Club. Every swing brings hope and healing to young hearts. Gather your team and play with purpose or make a donation. Tee off for Tiny Hearts, because every heartbeat deserves a chance. For more details, contact the Serfic the Sassoon Heart Foundation at sassoonheartfoundation.org.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, welcome back. Hey, that's another Tonash song, you know. Man, Tonash, what you doing? CIO and miserable, while this is love song, and he say she just get a license and she don't pay attention to signal, but I notice a Bahamian love song. Anyway, you're back on the clock with Aaron Green. Let's go to the phone line. See if we got some guys been waiting. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How you do?
I am fine. That the fuck though, you got many yachts, man.
Yeah, man.
You know how to use a woman of culture.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And what I love about you, you are a woman of culture in every regard. So I like how you promote your culture to your show.
Thank you.
But I ain't going off for that, you know.
I got you.
You know, it's politics time.
I hear you.
You say that shit drop on your legs.
I telling you, right off the rack.
You know what I mean, right?
What it mean?
I made my boy Darren Pestaku speak for disabled in Senate. He's gonna win.
Okay. He's a disabled. He's an advocate for the disabled community.
Oh yeah, he did a lot. I watch the Senate all the time, and he did a wonderful job. I opened during the rallies. I hope he listened to your show. I think the last rally is the night or tomorrow night.
Okay. See, I could be...
One of them on, I think, at 19 p.m. on the morning, I believe.
Listen, I torn because also tonight at the University of the Bahamas, there's a symposium as well as a book launch. It's the inaugural Bahamas Love Garvey Grounding. The first event is the launch of the new Daddy Garvey nursery rhyme book and a discussion, a symposium about it as well.
Okay, that's all interesting. They need to start, so what do UB need? We could talk about that next time, but I don't want to talk about it. But they need a network on these cable networks.
Cover these events, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, UWI?
Oh, yeah. You know there's UETV on Flow Channel, on Flow.
Right, and cable.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great.
Both of them. No, I said they need to.
All right, I'm saying there is UETV on Flow TV.
So no, there's none.
Yeah, if
UWI on Flow TV.
Yeah, that's what UE mean. Don't watch nothing. You're right. Come on.
Right. So they need to put it there. I won't be even on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They need to go big. But you know, they're talking about Darren, talking about the by-election coming up. I'm hoping he win. If he really don't win, he took a campaign for the January election and suggest some things. Make sure the sidewalks accessible and the parks be accessible for VHS and be community-minded of folks who might, of disabled folks who might can't get out.
Yeah.
Be minded that you could go to them.
Absolutely. Okay. I didn't know, but I'm glad to know now. Now I can start forming my questions for him. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, right on. Hey, I have a quick question, and then I have a statement, right?
Okay.
Question one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do people who involve in politics, right, continuously come on talk shows, right, for 2 hours or about an hour, right, and don't ask or request for callers to receive callers? Ain't that counterproductive to being elected? Second
yeah.
statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
This for Grayman. Okay, let's give him a word of advice. Whenever you call the police station, right, and you want a quick response, always say there's a white Caucasian lady in peril.
Yeah, and use the word peril because that can cause everybody to panic. I agree with you. Thank you. Caller, let's go to the next caller. Listen, why can't they use drones, right? Like, if I get a call, can I send a drone out dead quick to assess so I could, like, triage it and determine who I need to send and how quickly? Anyway, good morning, caller. How are you? Good morning, caller. Are you there? I'm sorry we missed you. Okay, here is a text on the text line. Good morning, Ms. Green. I get real curious when I hear the leader of the opposition make accusations about passports. Then I hear the chairman of the PLP make statements about Rick Fox keeping his mouth shut. That's a very kind of loose way to frame it. Then at the same time, I hear that the chief passport officer, Simonette, has been appointed as an ambassador. Don't mind. I see the letters that you have there in all caps, so I wouldn't miss them, but I missed them by accident. Wow. Yeah, I wish we had a government that had a culture of explaining the rationale or presenting the rationale behind their decisions to the general public, but apparently we don't. Let's go to the phone line, and then I maybe want to transition A Tale of Two Ambassadors. I don't know if I can get a chance to play traffic bingo on the show. Mind you, I have to play traffic bingo every morning on the way to work. Good morning, caller. Good morning,
Hello.
Caller. Hi, good morning.
How are you, Ms. Green?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a couple things, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
The first thing is for Rick Fox, that he says that he wants to run. So he can run as an independent and be run in Lufra, where I think they would elect him.
Okay.
The other thing, Ms. Green, The Western Cemetery is a mess.
Yes, sir.
They need to have the crew go out there and clean it up.
Yes, sir.
And that is, the graves are open up, and they need to fix the curbstones and do so many other things, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir. And this is extremely important. If graves are open, right, there's a security risk. Are people grave robbing? Are people stealing bodies to sell for medical experimentation?
No, that's not behavior.
That's possible because the garbage bag, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a sickening sight to see.
And it shows
why do we have to allow ourselves to be brought to that level? They have no respect for the dead.
Now, yes, that's the point I wanted to make. More importantly, this is the indicator of a massive cultural issue where we don't know how to honor the dead. We don't know how to respect, to show respect, to commemorate the lives of. And it
you
is.
You are absolutely correct, Ms. Green. But please, see if you can conjure up some persons who have some feeling for the dead. And not only that, our graveyards. Let's clean them up, man. Come on. We could do so much better. Please. And I thank you for the time allotted to me.
Yes,
have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. But we had a little disruption in the line there, but very important points made by the caller. First of all, there should never be a question of the integrity of cemeteries. Second of all, the state has the resources of the entire state to ensure that cemeteries, public cemeteries, are always properly maintained, and it has an obligation to the public to provide oversight to ensure that private cemeteries are maintained according to standards set by professionals in the industry. But this signals something deeper and detrimental to our culture and to ourselves. We have not taught future generations, ourselves, how to honor the dead. And this will come back to haunt us, pun intended. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, sir, or ma'am. Good morning to the giggler. Why are you giggling? Don't make me laugh. I already in a laughing mood.
No, man, you're trying to spark up things, girl.
Thank you.
But let me tell you something. Do you think there's a comparison between like graveyards and by election?
No.
There is.
Oh, tell me.
We only clean them up if there's a funeral.
Yeah.
We only clean the graveyards. There's a funeral and we put on a show. You know, I work in an area that is close to a church graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that place is overrun until there's a funeral.
There you go.
And that may be the problem for Mr. Textor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, the brown guy, he has been in that area on a deeper level than Mr. Dixdog. And all Mr. Dixdog is doing now can be seen as such a thing, you know, because after the voting or the funeral is over, things may go back to normal. And I think that's something that he needs to try to change the view of that, okay, because I don't think he or the PLP are ready for Golden Isles. Okay, you know, that is Southwest Nassau,
mm-hmm.
a very self-sufficient community. And you drive around there, you don't see no slums or anything like over the hill.
Okay.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I hope that political parties see that people are listening, right? And if political parties create real space to receive feedback and hear critique from people who are supporters, right? They are supporters, and they want their party to grow and be successful. But you got to create a listening ear to receive critique without the negative pushback. Here's a couple of texts. It says, Aaron, this PLP troll Brown knows in you because you wear that shirt today. No one showed up at the PLP last meet and greet, okay? And questions about mothers and babies being murdered was put to Mr. Pickstock, and he did not answer the question or know how far along this young lady that was just murdered a couple of days ago was, which is alarming. She was 7 months pregnant. That right there is an answer. Also, I wish you could ask Rick Fox's views on some uncomfortable questions like hanging, double murder, abortion, natural resources, sovereign wealth fund, etc., before everyone jumps on the celebrity bandwagon. Beliefs, attributions, and agendas need to be discussed. You are correct. I think we have moved into a realm of like personality politics. But let me get to the text. We got some text here. It says, good morning, Ms. Green. I'm a voter in Golden Isles, Bacardi Road. Tell me, Pickstock, I don't appreciate how he came on Morning Blend and didn't take any calls. He remind me of Fred Mitchell. You know, Mr. Mitchell, he does his daily voice note, right? Like the fireside chat. He feel like he talking to y'all enough. I imagine. I don't know. I only had the shirt on for like 45 minutes, you know. I don't know everything about the PLP yet. Here's another text, Lady Green. There are three. Okay, I think the text is saying that we have new cultures in the country that do not exhibit any respect for the dead. The moral fiber of our country, ? Is being destroyed every day, ? What do we do to resurrect our country today? From Grand Bahama, we are listening. We can talk about it. You guys, I got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, maybe we're going to get to this topic, man. A Tale of Two Ambassadors. I just want to know, what side of the table is Sabah supposed to be on? That's all I want to know. I mean, Tone Ash would know plenty of things. I just want to know that one thing. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Like rock, pour you all over my town. Beautiful. Girl, I wanna hold you like a cup of honey, lick you like Fuso Sam, slam you like God, oh, love you like Christmas bonus, squeeze you like my last dollar, kiss you like food was good, touch you like road on Friday, need you like a trip to Zuma. Tell your ma and your pa that they did something special.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Man, Tonash, when he say tell your ma and your pa that they did something special, do not, ladies, let these men them sing to you. You hear that? Anyway, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm going to check the text line. Okay. A Tale of Two Ambassadors. In today's Tribune, we have this headline, Mitchell hints Fox should resign over political comments. And I want to say that normally, right, with a properly functioning Westminster system, we would see plenty resignations, resignation upon resignation. In fact, it would be an Oprah show. You get a resignation, you get a resignation, you get two resignations, right? That's what we should expect. And so, in a normal system, yes, an ambassador should resign. Like, you see, when Herschel Walker was confirmed by the Senate, and then he got up and said, yeah, but they asked him, so you go into the Bahamas, what's going to be your focus, your theme, right? Herschel Walker kind of stepped over a line. He said, listen, I'm coming in to deal with China and the drugs, right? It's an inappropriate statement, probably not properly prepared. His first day on the job. I mean, the boy was on the job for like 3 seconds, right? It's an inappropriate statement. You're not appointed as an ambassador to come to a country to deal with another foreign country in the country you've been assigned to, right? But things ain't things. These are not normal times. So the question of whether Fox should resign, right, over political comments asked me to ask the question, in the series of photos we saw this week emanating from the office of the prime minister that I think was meetings with vendors at Arawaki, what was the function of the ambassador in that space? Like, why was the ambassador Bastian in that space? Now, is he a vendor at Arawaki? Is he an investor in any of the businesses at Arawaki? And if he were, why was he on that side of the table with the prime minister, right? Now, it is entirely possible. It is entirely possible that the two pictures that I looked at were actually from two totally different meetings, you know. That's possible. But what I notice is that the prime minister and the minister of tourism, the MP for Exuma, they were wearing the same ties in both pictures. Now, I don't expect people to go home and change their ties, right? But there were more things in the image that suggested to me that I needed to ask the question out loud. What function did the ambassador serve at that meeting, at that time, in that room, on that side of the table with the prime minister, right? So here's another question. Is it inappropriate for an ambassador, right, who has been nominated as a candidate by a party in the upcoming election, and that party also holds the administration, is it inappropriate for that candidate, who is also an ambassador, to appear to be acting like an MP, right? And does it matter, since we've thrown away so many of the other tenets of the Westminster system? See, when Kirk Cornish was asked by the police to present himself for questioning, did he? How long did it take? And at what point did somebody in the party remind him that in the Westminster system, you must do the honorable thing? And in this instance, the honorable thing would simply be to present yourself to the police for questioning, right? If we are going to adhere strictly to the Westminster system, then I say, yes, Mr. Fox's comments were completely and totally inappropriate. But since we're handing out resignations, let's get that photocopy machine running, because we got tons of resignations to hand out. I want to go to another topic quickly because I know we're running out of time. The Nassau Guardian, FNM wants Campbell gone. Quote, he is clearly conflicted. Now, I took some notes from the story yesterday, and I want to read something directly from that. It is a quote, I think, from Mr. Campbell. And here's the excerpt from the article. The article is, FNM calls for removal of Golden Isles returning officer Neil Campbell. Bang. Here is the excerpt, right? Yesterday, Mr. Campbell pushed back strongly against accusations of political bias. including claims he once served as Prime Minister Davis's campaign general. He denied any improper conduct, saying his personal relationships have never influenced his duties. Mr. Campbell acknowledged calling Mr. Davis his, quote, adopted father, close quotes, but said he has longstanding ties across the political divide, noting FNM leader Michael Pintard is his cousin and that he grew up with the FNM candidate Brian Brown. Now, look here. On the surface, it's like everything cool. That's how we do it, right? But no. See, a presiding officer in the culture is supposed to behave like a judge. You don't know anybody. And you don't talk about knowing anybody. And if you are required to acknowledge your relationship with politically exposed people, then there should be a proper mechanism within which to register that. Right? Because in a small island place where conflicts of interest are unavoidable, there must be mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest, and they must be maintained, and they must be operated. Otherwise, you, Mr. Campbell, then become the victim of the same political culture. It's incumbent upon you. See, just like with the general orders and political affiliation, it's incumbent upon you to keep your political affiliation, the civil servant generally, not Mr. Campbell specifically. It is incumbent upon the civil servant to maintain the integrity of the secrecy of their affiliation. What has become, let's prep the caller, coming to you right now. What has become of the culture is, I say FNM and they victimize me because it's a PLP government. No, first of all, ain't nobody supposed to know what your political affiliation is. Thus, no victimization is possible. And then if it occurs, then you have to show that this whoever took measure to discover this information. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Bahama.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, I heard you mention the judges now. I almost hang up the phone because I thought you would have preempted me. But just the example that I wanted to use. Mm-hmm. These conflicts of interest in removing people happens on a daily basis in court, in the court system.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then a juror happens to know a defendant, what happens in that case? We see it every day.
Yeah.
Didn't they ask the jurors to recuse themselves?
Yep, and they have to recompose the panel. Or they replace it with the replace them with the replacement.
Or if they find out that a juror had known someone after verdict, they have a mistrial and they start over again.
Yes, sir.
These things happen every day, so it isn't like the politician isn't aware of these things. They try to make a big thing out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The honorable thing for the gentleman to do is just move aside and let someone else get there. What's so hard about that?
Yep.
Why make it appear that it's a conflict of, I mean, it is a conflict of interest, but why make it appear that that people are doing something wrong for asking him to remove,
and that
recuse himself?
That all the critique offered is just political mischief. This is valid critique. And see, the more important thing is this, is that the presiding officer is an office, right? That's a function in the government. Anybody who is trained could fill that function. It don't depend on me. It's the office that must function. And then
you don't want to see what the gentleman failed to understand, Mr. Campbell, that is, and his supporters, is that they make it seem as if that it's a personal attack. You're not even interested in Mr. Campbell, you know. It's the office that you're trying to protect.
Yeah.
The office. You don't want to contaminate or make the office appear as if that is leaning towards somewhere else. It makes no sense. Then you should really be in the middle.
But I got you.
Just for him to recuse himself, that should be a no-brainer for the government's mind. We shouldn't have to be going back and forth over something that is so clear in terms of conflict. But I'll see what happens. But I'm almost certain that by Monday, you'll have a new presiding officer. I'm almost certain about that.
Well, let's see what happens. And let's be careful in our critique, because ultimately the goal is to ensure integrity in the electoral system. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. On a matter of conflict of interest, I was added to a WhatsApp group with a number of senior, very senior people in it, and then somebody identified me as related to my mother. And the first thing I put my hand up and say, yeah, that's my mama. And as soon as y'all added to the group, I will remove myself because that's a conflict of interest, right? And I got to be prepared to manage it at any time. Let's go, Texas. Good morning. We must avoid condoning behavior that could be perceived as a conflict of interest, even if it does not technically qualify as one. Our responsibility is to ensure fairness across all parties because the integrity of our system depends on equal treatment. No individual should be allowed to gain an undue advantage over others. Another text quickly. Lady Green, the PLP candidate, lives over PI, like the elites in our country, ? Someone rich financed his education. Now, I don't know about that. That boy said he was a butcher. I believe he was like 13. His career and lifestyle, he shows that he doesn't have the common man or woman touch. So time will tell his real future. Stay focused, Bahamians, and vote for the right candidate. All right, here's another text. Perhaps we need to ask, is the ambassador involved in the financing of any of the fish fry businesses? I did ask that. I tried to ask. Anyway, all kinds of questions to be asked. Unfortunately, we are all out of time. Caller, I see the call just came in, but I in a new dispensation. I can catch this wave. If I miss it, it could be a tsunami. I ain't got time for that. You guys, Guardian Radio AM, CA Newry is up next.
The sun gotta shine, but you just do it better. You just do it better. Girl, you